from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Love. Rookie right-hander of the Pirates coming home. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 9 no-hit innings in a row, including the All-Star game for Paul Skenes. The hush in the pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Blew it by him at 99. Second strikeout for Skenes. 3-2. Struck him out. He gave him the sinker. And he strikes out Ciani on the 10th pitch. There's a swing and a deep drive out to left. And Reynolds back to the wall, leaps, and he just missed it. Home run for Arenado. He takes the fellow El Toro High School graduate over the left field wall for his 10th home run, and it's 1-0 St. Louis. And strike three call, he got him on a fastball. So after the home run, Skenes strikes everybody out. Two strikes on Newt Barr and the pitch. Swing and a foul tip, struck him out on the fastball. 7 strikeouts for Paul Skenes. Here's a 2-2 again. Swing and a miss, struck him out at 100.
There you go.
8 strikeouts for Skenes. Cruz pokes his bat out, hits it into center, falling fast and down for a hit. And behind Ciani, Cruz running hard the whole way. He's in at second base. O'Neill Cruz with that hustle stands at second base with one out. Swinging a bouncer up the middle, and that's going to sneak through, base hit. Cruz weaving around third. Nick Gonzalez does it again. He's tied the game for the Buccos. 1-1 in the eighth. Swinging a line drive, base hit into right field, over the drawn-in infield. Burleson with the RBI single. The Cardinals retake the lead 2-1 in the ninth.
Burns, burns, that ring of fire, that ring of fire.
Is that it? Limits? That's all. That song actually put me in a better mood. That was the most frustrating Pirate game of the season. And I know I'm not the only one saying that. You're saying that. You were there. Everybody I talked to around the office today, it was just a game of utter frustration and even embarrassment. Even embarrassment, because you know the eyes of the baseball world are on any game that Paul Skenes is pitching these days. This was a giant game against your hated rival, the team that has stuck it to you for decades now, the hated Cardinals, and it was an embarrassment. And I'm talking about the lineup. The lineup was just a total farce. Paul Skenes was unbelievable. He's a stud. You were there. What was it like when he came out for the ninth?
Joe, it was unreal. I mean, the crowd came to its feet immediately. All eyes were looking at the dugout to see if he would come out, but nobody was warming up in the bullpen. So it seemed for sure that Skeens would come out, but it seemed like everybody was just in pure disbelief and everyone on their feet. Felt like a playoff atmosphere,
yes.
Especially the last three innings. This is the worst loss of the season. And it's not even close.
I agree.
It's not even close. Your starting pitcher goes into the ninth. He's as efficient as he's ever been as a Pirate. Paul Skeens, absolutely dominant.
What must he be thinking, by the way? Like, what are we doing here? Where have I landed? You've landed in Pittsburgh, where they better damn well get a lineup together. Get some hitters in here. What is Ben Cherington doing? We praised him on some fronts yesterday, including the not-so-small matter of drafting Skeens when everybody thought they were going to take Dylan Cruz. But this lineup was the choices on this roster. There's no good choices. The fact that Jared Triolo took all four of his at-bats in a gigantic game against the Cardinals is an indictment of the general manager and the manager. Okay, if I'm going to start pinch hitting for people and taking out the only guys in my lineup who are hitting practically in Rowdy and put in Key Brian Hayes, who's been a double play machine and just an abomination lately, I don't care what his average is against left-handers. Read the play. You're taking out a guy who's good and putting in a guy who's bad. I don't give a crap about the analytics and the numbers.
And they immediately took out the lefty, put in a righty as soon as Hayes was announced. Double play line right
to shoot. And then you don't have Rowdy the rest of the game.
No Rowdy.
I think still has some home runs in him. He's hitting. And then Sawinski.
Two for two.
Finally, blessedly hitting. He's finally hitting. He's two for two. He had two good at-bats. And you put in Connor Joe. And I don't give a crap that he got a hit. It's the process. Connor Joe stinks for 2 months straight now. Him against anybody alive is a bad matchup. Sawinski actually has a batting average 40 points higher against lefties than righties, which means, whatever it is, zero against righties and .40 against lefties. He's actually better. How about saving those pinch hit situations for other guys who flat out can't hit, like Jared Triolo, like Grandal? Joey Bart never gets off your bench. I can't believe I'm arguing for Joey Bart like he's Johnny Bench in this lineup, but you know what? He is Johnny Bench in this lineup. How does he not pinch hit for Jared Triolo? I've had it with the Triolo experiment. This team, this manager, this franchise is so in love with defense at the expense of offense. It doesn't make sense. I get it. You save runs defensively. Why am I continuously clapping my hands? Because I've had a lot of coffee and I'm angry. And it's not in any way applause. What was I going to say? Defense at the expense of offense. I get it. Run saved is a big deal. You want a really good defender off your bench. Maybe one. And that's a luxury for a team that can't hit. Maybe one. But this idea of having, trying to put together the all-defensive team just doesn't work. At some point, you have to have offense. Like Jared Triolo, defensively last night, had no chances to make a difference in that game because that's the way baseball goes. But you're guaranteed four big at-bats. Like every at-bat is a chance to alter a game like that in a seismic way. You simply aren't going to make that kind of difference on defense. You're not. In fact, you're probably likely to go through a whole game without the chance to make the kind of play that another guy wouldn't make at the major league level. You'll see some, but it's not worth it. Why is Jared Triolo still on this team? Do you have the question and answer for Shelty yesterday? Do you have that, City Limits?
Yeah, I mean, you asked him, why not Leyva Priguero? Why not anyone else in this lineup?
I asked him, do you have the part where I said flat out, why is Triolo on the team?
Here it is.
Shelty, I know Priguero isn't tearing it up at AAA, but I have to believe there's a lot of people who believe that he would be an upgrade on Triolo right now. What's the rationale, given all the struggles, the season-long struggle, really, at the plate, for having Triolo still here?
Well, defensively, he's still elite. There's no one that can counter that. I mean, he's been elite at second. He's been elite at third. The inconsistency of the at-bats is something that's been something because Nick has played well. I mean, just quite honestly, Nick has played well. So it's a situation.
There you go, because he's elite defensively. And again, I mean, this isn't exactly deep analytics, but this guy has taken, what, 243 at-bats? Most of those, because it's an at-bat, and because most of the games are close, are big. Chances to change games. He defensively, you don't get those. Do you know what I mean? You know what I'm getting at here? At-bats are way more important than routine defensive plays. And maybe, you know, a half dozen times, maybe more than that, you'll make a play if you're Jared Triolo. And I'm not arguing. I'm not countering that he's really good defensively. But there's been maybe half a dozen to 10 times where he's made a play that other major leaguers won't make, and therefore has been worth it in that instance to have a defense first guy on your team. Most of the time, it's not. 240 to however many big defensive plays he's had, he's probably had about 200 chances to change games offensively, including last night. And the fact that he took all four of his at-bats last night in a critical game against the Cardinals, who you're trying desperately to chase down, and you're in the middle of one of the best pitch games probably at PNC Park ever, probably by a Pirate, and he takes all four of his at-bats? What the hell are we doing here? And I blame Shelty, but I blame Charrington more than that. There's just not enough good choices here. Get some bats in here. Make some minor moves for some professional hitters. Bring up Peguero instead of Triolo. Because in baseball, you have more of a chance to make a difference at the plate than in the field, unless you're a horrific fielder who's just going to butcher everything that comes your way. And Peguero's not that. Little things like that to go along with a big bat like the guy we've been talking about, Brent Rooker, who homered last night.
23 on the year.
I saw Travis Sawchuk, our old friend from the Trib, who writes about baseball. He said it last night. Just go get him. Go get him. You have a chance to win here, even with this pop gun lineup, this embarrassing offensive roster. You have a chance. He tweeted out, Sawchuk did, Brent Rooker ought to be a Pirate by July 30th. And sure enough, you had people somehow finding ways to criticize that, to undermine that idea, to say why you're crazy. Why would you want one of the elite hitters in baseball, power hitters in baseball? And he is that by any definition this season. They already have a DH, says Chef Automatic. They have a DH in McCutchen. Rooker's better than McCutchen, but you can't carry two guys who can't play the field on your roster. To which Sawchuk says, just throw Rooker, hide him in right field. Again, underscoring my point right off the top today, that offense is way more important than defense in Major League Baseball.
Jack Sawinski is a bottom five outfielder defensively in all of baseball this season, and they run him out there in center field. Palacios is not that good defensively. He's fine in a corner. Edward Olivares, one of the worst defenders in all of baseball, was run out there in right field numerous times this season.
Garrett Franczkowski, whoever he is, where do you play Rooker? He's a -4 DRS in the field. He can only be an upgrade at DH, and Kutch isn't the issue in the lineup. Well, Kutch has had some big hits for this team, but he's a 220-something hitter batting leadoff who can't run anymore or play the field. I'd say that's kind of an issue. In a real lineup, in a good lineup, he's batting 7th, okay? But I do agree that he's about 7th on the list of problems. I don't even think he's a problem. It's a problem having a 220 leadoff guy who doesn't run anymore. That's a problem. But on the Pirates' list of problems, that's about 7th. I would start with Triolo and Hayes and Connor Joe. Shelton took out their guys who are hitting and put in the guys who aren't and left Grandal and Triolo in there to hit for themselves the whole game.
There's four things that I identified from yesterday's games as the major reasons why they lost. One, they left the bases loaded twice early in the game against Lance Lynn with a 4.8 ERA or whatever it is, 4.6, who is a shell of himself. And they chased pitches and they were overly just aggressive at bad spots. And all those at-bats, especially the second inning with an opportunity, and then later on, that's one. Yasmani Grandal comes to the plate, and he does not bunt with no one out.
And you knew the Cardinals would.
I knew the Cardinals would eventually bunt.
I texted my friend Jason Bumbliss. I texted him right when the kid shortstop came up for the Cardinals in a similar situation. I said, you watch. The Pirates didn't bunt. The Cardinals will. Why? Because they're the Cardinals. They're the fundamental Cardinals. That's what they do. And the kid blew it on two tries. But guess what? He still moved the runner. This roster, this offense stinks.
It's terrible. There were about six scouts that were sitting in front of me. And there were also, I was in 116, about five or six fans right to the left of me that were all saying, bunt, bunt, bunt. Like, what is Shelton thinking? Not to playing the bunt. And what does Yasmani Grandal do? Immediately bounces into a double play back to the pitcher.
Oh.
Easy rally inning over. Goodbye.
How does Joey Bart stay on the bench the whole game? What, are we resting him now? He's 25, 26 years old.
I guarantee you the argument would be, well, Yasmani Grandal is catching
an
incredible
game.
He's catching an incredible game for Paul Skeens right now.
Then start Grandal today. Win the game last night, and then you start Grandal again today. Or do something. I don't give a crap what you do.
Zangrilli said yesterday in the postgame that it's pretty clear and evident that Yasmani Grandal is the preference for Paul Skeens to throw to. And my response to that is, well, you better start liking Joey Bart. And you better start liking Andy Rodriguez and Henry Davis.
That's fine. I get that theory. I do. But at some point in the game, that doesn't mean you can't pinch hit.
Right.
Forget about Grandal. Joey Bart was, by a trillion miles, your best bat option last night. You lost a 2-1 game to the Cardinals. He never hit. Am I right about that?
He did not hit. He did not appear in the game. Him and Michael A. Taylor did not appear in the game.
How is that possible? Because you're safe. Because I guess the thinking would be, even when you get to the ninth inning and we have to watch Jared Triolo again instead of Joey Bart, who could also hit a homer, by the way. He's hit a number of clutch home runs this season.
Yeah.
The thinking must be, I can't use Bart. He's catching tomorrow at noon, and he would have to catch if we went into extra innings. First of all, Major League games that go into extra innings nowadays are over in 5 minutes because of the ghost runner. That's number one. And number two, again, he's 26 years old or something, Joey Bart. I'm sure he'll survive if he had to pinch hit last night, catch an inning or two, and come back today.
That shouldn't be a problem. So those are just two.
But don't get me wrong. This starts with Charrington. I mean, this is just, and everybody saw it last night. Including every single Pirate fan, and a lot of them made it out to the stadium. It was embarrassing to waste a start like that by Skeens and have your bench options be Key Brian Hayes, Connor Joe, Michael A. Taylor, and then who was the other Barton? Was anybody else? Were those their bench options?
Barton Taylor.
I can't
off the
even
bench.
Talk right now.
Connor Joe was off the
worst,
bench.
You have two of the worst hitters in all of baseball right now. Connor Joe, if anybody's been worse since the beginning of June than him, I'd like to see those numbers.
He's sitting 180 this month, and he's
sitting
170 last month.
And again, I don't give a crap that he got a hit. I don't. What Shelton did was take out his hot hitters, put in his worst hitters, and leave in his even worse than worst hitters to take all their at-bats, Grandal and especially Triolo. He's become the lightning rod. Can I hear that again? Let me hear my question, and just until he gets to the part where you can't counter that he's an elite fielder, just to make sure this actually happened. Shelty, I know Peguero isn't tearing it up at AAA, but I have to believe there's a lot of people who believe that he would be an upgrade on Triolo right now. What's the rationale, given all the struggles, the season-long struggle, really, at the plate, for having Triolo still here?
Well, defensively, he's still elite. There's no one that can counter that. I mean, he's been elite.
Yeah, there's no one that can counter that. I get it. But for the 10th time on the show today, offense is way more important than defense in Major League Baseball, and that was underscored last night. You're only going to get so many chances defensively to make plays that an ordinary major leaguer wouldn't make, to make plays that Peguero, for example, wouldn't make at third base. And Triolo got none of those out. He made no difference defensively in the game last night, which wasn't a surprise because most guys won't on a given night. Over time, perhaps, but not on a given night. And he had four chances to profoundly change the game, and he struck out twice and was horrendous at the plate, and I can't believe he's still here. And what are you doing, Ben Charrington? Go out and get a couple veteran bats for minimal cost and then get a big one. The real kicker here is that after Sawinski finally starts to hit, they bench him. What did you think of that move when it was happening, Limits?
I understand that they wanted to do lefty-on-lefty matchup, but at that point in the game, just keep Jack Sawinski in because the alternatives
are not that great. And they're just trying to play matchups and hope that it works. And the third thing that I didn't get to get to, and I know you wanted me to bring up the fourth as well, was Key Bryant Hayes. You bring him in for a matchup because there's a lefty on the mound for St. Louis after Nick Gonzalez drove in the run. Rowdy Tellez comes up. You bring in Hayes. St. Louis, as soon as Key Bryant Hayes is announced, brings in the right-hander. Double play, easy, momentum over, inning done. And the fact that Jack Suwinski, I mean, 2-for-2 day, when is the last time we've seen that from him? A month ago? Where he's actually got the bat on the ball and he drove a double off the wall and right. A very good approach hitting the ball the other way to left in his first at-bat.
Him and Rowdy both have just kind of, Rowdy for a while now, have just slowed down. You can just tell that the game has slowed down a bit. I would have given both of them their at-bats. I would have saved my pinch hitting opportunities, if you want to call them that, and one of them would have been Joey Bart, for Triolo and Grundahl. That's the bottom line for me. And as I told you, by the way, Suwinski's hitting 50 points higher against lefties than he is righties this year. 50 points higher. 13 higher slugging percentage, 13 higher OPS. He stinks against lefties, don't get me wrong, but he's hitting them better than righties. It was just mind-boggling.
Yeah, that I don't understand. But one of the most painfully egregious things that happened, the Pirates' inability to get down a bunt, and when St. Louis deployed the bunt, their rookie, Mason Winn, couldn't get the bunt down twice. But he did something that Yasmani Grandal could not do. Hit the ball the other way.
Yeah, we talked about
that. Allow the runner from second to go to third, a rookie.
Right.
And then the infield has to come in, and what would have been a liner to Nick Gonzalez, caught by Gonzalez, maybe had to jump for it, and would have gotten them out of the inning. Did not work out that way, and they score the winning run.
I don't know how Ben Charrington watches this. I don't know how Bob Nutting watches this and doesn't walk down the hallway and say, go get some hitters, will you please? He may even say, I don't want to spend a lot of money, but go get some hitters. That's possible too. Just do something so you have a real bench to go to, because there's going to be a million more games like this. It was just such a wasted opportunity. And I would imagine people across the baseball world, if they weren't already aware of the Pirates' offensive lack of capability. What's the word I'm looking for here? Why can't I find words I'm looking for?
Accountability?
No, they stink offensively. If everybody wasn't aware of that, they sure were by the end of the game last night. They had to come away saying, man, what has Paul Skeens gotten himself into there? What has he gotten himself into? And by the way, I would have taken him out after the first hit in the ninth. I would have gone lefty on lefty there. I would have gone with Chapman, I think. Was he available last night?
I think he was.
I would have gone with him. But Paul Skeens was unbelievable. What a great game he pitched. But that wasn't the story. I'm sorry, that was not the story last night. The story was their inability to support him and fearing for the worst moving forward, unless the roster experiences somewhat of a change here. You know? Even minor ones. Triolo, for me, has become the lightning rod for all this. And Shelty said yesterday that Triolo's might play more. That Key Bryant Hayes, they're going to have to manage Key Bryant Hayes and that back situation moving forward, right? Is that not what he told us?
Yeah, I mean, that is going to continue to linger. It's not hindering him, but it's going to continue to linger. That sounds like a guy that's still hurt. And that is not fully healthy, even though Shelton said he's healthy. He's healthy, but how healthy is he? 75%?
I mean, you got to read the play at some point. Did people boo when Hayes was announced last night? It was such an unbelievable bummer when he came to the plate.
No boos. Remember, it came right after Nick Gonzalez had the RBI base hit, so the energy was high in the building.
You were in the building. I was watching on TV. It sure sounded like when they pinch hit and his name was announced, there was some rustling, at least.
It wasn't a Bronx cheer, but I didn't really feel that there were boos in the building, no.
All right. But you were as angry as you were after any game this season, yes?
I was the angriest I've been after any game this season. The fact that Skeens was absolutely dominant the way that he was, a home run to wash Nolan Arenado, that if it was a foot closer to the field, Brian Reynolds probably brings it back, and then a double down the line, fluke double, you're about to bring the infield in.
I mean, first base runner since the fifth inning that the Cardinals had. Skeens just ran out of gas in the end. I don't question at all the decision to keep him out there for the ninth. I would have pitched him.
I would have pitched him for the ninth. I'm a sucker for those kind of moments, too. But, yeah, I would have pitched him. But once he gives up the hit, then I make the change. But that's neither here nor there. It's another wasted start by this guy. The guy pitched a no-hitter with 11 strikeouts, and the Pirates won that game 1-0. They barely got out of that. People saying that I jinxed Skeens yesterday. I got a bunch of people on Twitter.
I think Pony is the one that jinxed him more than anybody, saying he'd throw a perfect game.
Saying I jinxed him by saying he would go undefeated this season. I'm not the one that jinxed him. Ben Charrington and the hitters in that lineup jinxed him, and Shelty. All of these people jinxed him last night. He's now here's games in which he either has no decision or a loss. Last night, 8 1/3, 4 hits, 2 runs, no walks, 8 strikeouts, and he gets a loss. The previous game, a no-hitter with 11 strikeouts. He barely wins 1-0. He got a no decision at Atlanta, 6 innings, 1 run, 9 strikeouts. They lose the game in 10. Another wasted start. Before that, at home against Tampa, 7 innings, 1 run, 8 strikeouts. They lose the game 3. How long do you watch this, Ben? He gets a no decision at St. Louis, 6 1/3 shutout innings with no walks and 8 strikeouts, and they barely win that one 2-1. He gets a no decision against San Francisco, 6 innings, 1 earned run, and he gets a no decision there in May. They're wasting him. They're wasting him.
There's no urgency, Joe. There's just no urgency. And I understand that the market, the asking price will continue to go down the closer you get to the deadline. Okay, that's just business. But the fact that Shelton said that they are standing pat on the roster and they don't feel like any moves have to be made, this is what he said when you asked, is any changes going to be made right now to the current roster, Triolo, anybody?
So is Peguero, has he been a thought for you guys to promote or no?
No, as of now, I mean, we have not thought about changing our offensive, our position player group.
No changes to the position player group, even from
even
AAA.
Thinking. Haven't even thought about it. Although they did bring up Palacios, who looked good for a while. And I like him, but he's not a starter on any team, on any good team. He might not even be a reserve on any good team. He just happens to be an upgrade around here.
Like, why not give a Matt Gorski a chance?
So imagine, you know, we began the week this way, that it's time for Ben Charrington to get his team on the floor. And it's even getting to be too late for that. Because if you keep losing games like this, then you fall 5-6 behind the Cardinals. And then it just becomes too much to make up ground. The golden opportunity is here right now.
Where are you going?
In the game.
Sit down.
What do you mean? You gotta have 5 out there.
Sit down. Sit.
Coach, need one more. My team is on the floor.
There you go. My team is on the floor. Unfortunately, the team that's on the floor right now can't score. And I know in July, their numbers have been up. We also have discussed this all week long, that's great, and it's sort of the ebbs and flows of a 162-game season, but nobody believes that's real, that they're a top-5 offense in the league long-term here. So what if you could get a lineup, even with just a professional hitter? You need a big move, don't get me wrong, but what about adding a guy like a Justin Turner, like a veteran pro? And I don't even know what his numbers are this year. I don't care. I know he's a professional hitter. So then you could show up to the ballpark with, you know, a lineup that is O'Neill Cruz followed by professional hitter Justin Turner, maybe an example. Somebody else, some cheap veteran out there. The way people always get cheap veteran pitchers who are having good years from the Pirates, right? Every year they have the Chase Andersons of the world that you trade usually for nothing practically, or these high, you know, high ceiling prospects that we all know there's a 5% chance they're going to turn out. So what if you showed up at the ballpark one day with a professional hitter plus a Brent Rooker? You make the big deal. So then you show up for the actual game with a lineup that starts like this. O'Neill Cruz leading off, professional hitter batting second, let's say Justin Turner, Brian Reynolds batting third, Brent Rooker batting fourth, then Gonzalez, then Rowdy, then McCutcheon. You know? Something like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, you can live with sacrificing offense for defense at some points, right? What about that little lineup, City Limits?
Not even do you lengthen the lineup, but you also add more power and more opportunities to actually have people in the lineup who are consistent major league threats. Nobody looked at this lineup as a threat. If you're a pitcher, if you're an opposing pitcher, and you see the bottom of the order, including Yasmani Grandal, who's basically done as a hitter in his career. He's not the 2019 all-star Yasmani Grandal he used to be. Michael A. Taylor's a shell of what he was last year. 6, 7, 8, 9, pitchers just salivate looking at that lineup and know that they can just pitch around Brian Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz if they need to because they can get everyone else out. And that's why they can't score.
I'm trying to figure a way to get McCutcheon. I don't have a center fielder in this lineup, unfortunately, so I have to get a center fielder. But again, if you have to live with Michael A. Taylor batting ninth and playing great defense and center in a lineup that can actually hit, well, that starts to change things a little bit. So what if you did show up with a lineup like that, with O'Neill Cruz, followed by a professional hitter, followed by Reynolds, followed by an elite power hitter batting fourth, then Gonzalez, then Rowdy, then Joey Bart, and then you figure it out for your last two. Maybe you have to go Hayes and Michael A. Taylor. I don't know. And then the last thing I'm worried about is what happens with McCutcheon. I don't know. I have a chance to get Brent Rooker in here. He's pounded 53 home runs since the beginning of last year. He has like a 950 OP. He's hitting like Bryce Harper. I'll worry about McCutcheon later. I'll hide this guy in right field if I get him. And McCutcheon can still DH from time to time. I'll put McCutcheon in right field once in a while. I'll sit McCutcheon here and there. We'll all survive. My God, the things people think about when it becomes a guy who has 53 home runs since the beginning of last season could come to the Pirates.
Yes.
Do you want
to
do
it?
That's a yes or no question with no qualifications. I don't give a crap if he leaves his glove in his car. Get him here.
And you might say, well, it's going to cost too much. He's hitting too well. The guy can't play any defense. So just stick him out there and right. It's not that bad at PNC Park to play right field. It's not like the big left field or center field at
worse,
the ballpark.
It couldn't be worse than Hank Davis.
It couldn't be worse than Edward Olivares and Jack Sawinski are out there. Just metrically, it's just not possible.
So your thoughts on this. Are you as angry as I found myself, City Limits, and virtually everybody I talked to today around town? It's like you have a big, huge dinner party and, you know, Your uncle that nobody's ever supposed to see shows up at the table. You know what I mean? The eyes of the baseball world were on Pittsburgh last night, and they all got a look at this offense, at these hitters, at this roster, at these choices that Derek Shelton went to late in the game.
Someone else has also pointed out, too, I've seen this a couple of times, the drop third strike by Yasmani Grandal on the Ciani at-bat.
Yeah.
Which would have been, and I'm looking at the clip right now, that ball should have been caught by Grandal, and it ended up leading the next pitch to a double, which was the winning run.
412-928-9370. Listen, the good news for the Pirates is they're still right there and that people are angry. It's good to be angry. It's good to care. When you care, you have feelings like anger. When you no longer care, that's called apathy. That's the other A word, City Limits. And right now, people are heavily invested in the Pirates emotionally. Right now, for this little tiny stretch of time, even as the Steelers report this morning. And by the way, we're going to have Jeff Hathorn and others weighing in on people reporting. Let's make sure everybody does report. See if Najee Harris talks today. Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Here's a rundown of what's happening on today's show. We're going to have tons of Steelers, tons of Pirates. We have Johnny Parrotto later in the show. We have a very interesting guest at 11:30, someone who knows Russell Wilson quite well from a long time ago. All kinds of stuff brewing here. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service. Providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Our Paul Skeens and Pirates reaction is brought to you by Bet365. Let's hear from you and all your anger next. Everybody has to be just fuming about what you saw last night. It was the type of game that just made you want to break things, limits. How was it leaving the building? Were people muttering to themselves?
I went with my good friend, John. He got me, we got great seats, 116 for this game. Shout out to him. And when we were leaving, it was just kind of quiet, kind of like the air was completely taken out of the building. And I had this epic rant that I gave him. And I said, I cannot wait until 10 a.m. tomorrow. I am so infuriated right now.
Well, you delivered. I mean, here's the thing. It ruined what could have been a really memorable night at the park with him coming out for the ninth. Their pathetic roster ruined that night. I do blame Shelty, but on the other hand, Shelty has no good choices. Although he did have one in Joey Barth that he didn't use. So he did have a good choice. I don't know how much longer anybody can take this with this offense. And again, I don't give a crap what they did for the first 2.5 weeks of July. That's a blip. It doesn't last. They need improvements, and they need them now while they're still, what are they? Are they still a half game out or now 1.5? Do you know, Limitless Wonder?
They're a game over. Give me 30 seconds.
I don't need 30 seconds. I have it right here in front of me.
This is where we would need the Paul pause.
Yeah, why don't you drop the Paul pause?
The Pirates are now a game and a half back because
yes,
everyone won yesterday.
Because everybody won except them. But thank God Jared Triolo got all 4 at-bats in without being pinch hit for on a huge night against the Cardinals.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I don't know, maybe this little tiny stretch of fairly competent play will help Jack Sawinski become more attractive to some other team. I see Stephen Nesbitt in The Athletic. They want a candidate for every team who could be moving on, and he said Sawinski. Plays center field, has huge power, says Nesbitt, and a great eye, but the Pirates are running out of reps for a 206 career hitter with a 30% strikeout rate in the majors. I'll say.
How are they running out of reps for him? There's no one to replace him at the moment. That's why we're talking about they have to add.
And then the beauty is when he actually mercifully starts hitting, they pinch hit for him. I love this. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to get to Rob Long out of Baltimore. This is the guy. He's great,
he is great,
by the way. Had a little bit of a, I wouldn't say feud, but he was not complimentary of Patrick Queen, and Patrick Queen took note of that. So we have to ask Rob about that and all things Ravens as we talk about the defending division champs going into training camp here. That's top of the hour. But first, you and your anger. 412-928-9370.
Justin in Columbus.
What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Joe, I'm glad that you brought up Shelton's inability to manage and his pinch-hitting decisions. But I wanted to talk about something that also happened in the ninth inning last night. When Burleson was coming to the plate, I immediately texted a couple of my buddies who are baseball coaches throughout the country, and like, why didn't they just put him on? Why don't they put him on, try and set up a double play with Contreras on deck? At that point in the game, I'd rather take my chances with the right-handed hitter who's a catcher who could easily ground into a double play, especially when they're not going to score a run in the ninth inning off of Helsley to tie the game with that point in the lineup anyway. So who cares if he hits a gap shot to make it 3-1 as opposed to 2-1.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, that's a great point. Plus, Contreras had already struck out twice. So
yeah,
I think that would have been the way to go.
It made no sense to me. And then also you mentioned bringing in Chapman. He didn't even have him warming up in the pen, which just also was mind-boggling to me. Yes, the offense is a problem, but, you know, Shelton and his decisions, they make me scratch my head sometimes.
Well, they certainly did last night, and I appreciate the call. He's right. Burleson actually had good at-bats last night. Like, he was getting his bat on the ball. He didn't strike out. First base was open. Shame on me for not thinking of that limits, but this guy is 100% right.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Burleson has killed the Pirates this year, and he's having probably the best bat for the Cardinals right now this season. I mean, he's been incredible.
Poor Goldschmidt last night. My God, did Skeens torture him?
Yeah, he's done. He's pretty much washed.
I don't believe that, but last night he was.
Well, he's a shell of what he used to be.
Yeah.
Which is obviously an MVP type of candidate.
Right, but he looked like Mickey Mantle in the Pirates lineup. He has 14 home runs, right?
Yeah. I would rather have him at first base than Rowdy Tellez, so I guess not completely washed, I should say.
I mean, I still think he might get going, too. Just last year, he had an 810 OPS and 25 homers. Give him a little time, but you're right. He's definitely declined. There's no question about that. But that guy was right. Good for that caller. Let's see if this one can match him.
Yeah, and it puts the double play in order, which the Pirates knew all about yesterday. Mike in Greensburg.
Hey, Mike. You there? I hear nothing from Mike. Sounds like his line is completely dead, Folsy.
Oh, Mike. Well, here's another Mike. Mike is in Uniontown.
You're not Folsy. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, good morning. I'm on the road, so I hope I don't lose you.
You're good.
Okay, you know, I think management and ownership especially, they're not going to take a chance. Ever since that Chris Archer deal went south, I think they're gun-shy now. But I think what needs to happen is guys like McCutchen and Reynolds and Keller, the veterans on this team, have to go to management and say, hey, we got some potential here. Do something. Why don't they speak up?
Well, who knows if they have, or who knows if that would do any good? I don't know if they have. You know? Is he gone or still there?
He's gone.
Why did you cut him off, City Limit?
He got cut off.
Oh, he got cut off. Okay. You know, they can go to them and say, yeah, we should make some moves here. Does that do any good? Everyone in the world knows that this is what they need to do, and maybe the only blessing from last night is they hit rock bottom with the whole baseball world watching. Next.
Finally, here's Paul in Westmoreland.
What's up, Paul?
Well, I get to talk to the illustrious Mr. Starkey. Your better half is missing. The number one show on 93.7 The Fan. Tony, eat your heart out, because this is the best show, Starkey and Zeiss, by all. Nobody else even comes close. Let's get on with it, Joe.
Let's get on with it, yes.
Shelton is the manager in this team. If Grandal holds on to that ball against the guy that doubled down the left field line, that's strike three, and we're not having this conversation. And who gives a rat's ass if Vart catches a night game into a day game? These guys are a bunch of candy-ass guys. They got to start playing. They're getting paid millions of dollars. Who cares if they play back-to-back games? I want winners, not sinners. Have a good day to the number one show on the fan.
Limits, I think. IT, let's go with that.
Let's go, Paul!
That was unbelievable. That was absolutely incredible. I have nothing to add to that.
Paul is great. Paul calls all the time. He wants to play golf with you.
We're going
to
play that. I don't know. He sounds borderline frightening, but I like him. Clip that, and at the end of every single segment, we're going to play that little mini rant at the end. He wants winners, not sinners. This is incredible.
The number one show on the station. How about it? Big fan.
Wow. That was amazing. All right.
We got one more call if you want it.
No,
that
I
was
don't.
The topper. That was too good. We also have the general.
Following that guy would be like following Hendrix at Woodstock. I would feel horrible for whoever's up next. I don't think we should do that. You? In fact, I think you should clip that right now and replay it to end this segment. Just the little last rant there.
I would love to.
Can you do that? Well, I tease ahead and take care of some things here. One of which is the weather's sunny in 86, but it's a great day to schedule a heart screening with the experts at UPMC. I'm not sure why the word but is in there. I don't understand that. The weather is sunny in 86, and it's a great day to schedule a heart screening with the experts at UPMC. It really is. I mean, it literally saves lives, and it's so easy to do, and they're so good at what they do. I did this a couple of years ago. There's no reason not to. So yes, really any day is a great day to schedule a heart screening with the folks at UPMC. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear Starkey's Card of the Week. It's coming up momentarily here from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And of course, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 86 today with sunny skies. Let's go to the general. General Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It's Starkey's Card of the Week. Your chance to win that card comes from going to our website, 93.7thefan.com, and our contesting page right around noon Wednesday through Friday. I'm going to guess Paul Skeens yet again. Limitless Wonder, who do you have?
It can't be Paul Skeens every single week,
yes,
can
it,
Joe?
It's Paul Skeens every single start.
Yeah, let's go with Paul Skeens again.
No, you're going with Russell Wilson.
No, I'm going with Justin Fields.
I'll go with Russell Wilson. General?
Mr. Starkey, good morning. Or is it the illustrious Mr. Starkey,
I guess,
according to Paul?
Yeah, after that call.
That sounds like a new moniker we should go with. Good guesses from both of you, but we're going with the other unicorn. How about O'Neill Cruz?
I like it.
Spectacular weekend. We could use a little offense today. I got a Trinity 2022 O'Neill Cruz autograph. It's a certified autograph card. He only signed 99 of them. And it's a very sought-after card. Prior to the emergence of Paul Skeens, Cruz was the number one sought-after card. Now, I do have to say, we could do Skeens week after week because he's certainly not any less sought than he was in the past. I do want to make one clarification.
Yeah.
Normally, by this time in the year, it would certainly be a Steeler. So the good news, among all of our fretting about the Pirates, the good news is there's still passion and venom about bad performances. By now, we're usually talking about who's going to be the backup punter. So the fact that we're still deep into Pirate talk is certainly a good thing.
I agree. I just made that point myself, is people are heavily invested emotionally in the Pirates, and it's up to the Pirates to keep it that way as Steeler camp moves along. Thank you, General. You're a wonderful man.
You're welcome. You guys have a great day.
See you, buddy.
Nice, General.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. An O'Neill Cruz card. Your chance to win it at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. You get quality. Oh. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.